So I'll move down to Susan De Silva. You there, Susan?
Sorry.
That's okay.
First of all, the California law states not that it needs to go to a vote of the membership if it affects voters' voting rights. It just says if it affects the members' rights. So I think they may be trying to pass this and put it into effect without going to the membership. Otherwise, if they go to the membership, it's not going to pass, I do not believe. So, you know, that would be illegal. Also, what they've done to say nobody can have the membership list unless a member has specifically said that they want to opt into receiving things like petitions. I think that is illegal also. It's not going to stand up. And it's not super easy. As Christina said, this is the only time, only once has the membership brought a change. And I think it was very carefully thought out. I think for years we tried to include as many people as possible. To some of you, it was a surprise because you've only been on the board less than a year or whatever. But it came up over and over. There were groups forming. People knew it. People were invited. Early on, there was a big campaign to try and get together people who all they had to do was sign up what we called a pledge saying they would work amicably together with people that they disagreed with. People were all up in arms about the fact that we were asking for a pledge, and that was the only criteria for being part of the process. Otherwise, we could never have brought forth any bylaws at all. A huge
amount of time. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. It's Sharon's time. Sharon she can't do the hand up thing, so she had to text me a while ago that she wanted to say something. So go ahead, Sharon.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, Susan. I didn't put the phone up because I was sort of distracted. I first just want to say thank you, Susan. Thank you so much for clarifying that it was members' rights and not voters' rights. Arthur Schwartz, the general counsel, no, he is the general counsel for Pacifica, said it was election rights, and thank you for clarifying that it's members' rights. I was actually trying to look up that corporate code, and I couldn't find it in time, so I really appreciate that because I thought it was not voters' rights, and I find that kind of just typical, honestly, that Schwartz would say what is not true and, you know, put that forth as the reason why this should be voted. So I have looked at that corporate code, and I agree it's members' rights. They cannot affect members' rights. And so if this passes, I believe then the question I have, which I would like to have answered, is the source. I think this came from the PMB directly, if I'm clear on that. So, you know, the PMB is putting this forward as, you know, a way to take away members' rights. And what does that leave the membership? The only thing that the membership could do at that point is sue, you know, to try to get back their rights. And so that's just what's so, it just seems wrong to me about the way it's happening. You know, then people complain about the lawsuits. Well, if the national directors would function within the law, you know, and try to comply with the law, I think things would be so much better because, yes, that was my first thought when I heard this, was that's against California law to take away membership rights in a membership corporation without having a membership vote. You must have a membership vote. That's like the key thing if you're taking away membership rights. So thank you, Susan, for clarifying that. Again, I just think it shows something about the current leadership. And so that's my time also.
Thank you, Sharon. Donald? Donald Goldmacher?
Yeah. What I find terribly ironic here, and painful, is that those who were screaming last fall that there was a coup taking place in Pacifica and it was not democratic, what was done at WBAI, those very same people who were screaming for ultra-democracy then are now proposing a very anti-democratic amendment to the bylaws. I don't think you can have it both ways, Mr. Schwartz or Mr. Steinberg or Mr. McFadden. This is a ruse to make sure that members don't have the right to put forward any changes in the bylaws in the future. So that's what this is about, plain and simple. This is member suppression. And to the argument that this whole amendment bylaw process that was put forward last year was sloppily contrived and hastily put together, I'm sorry, it was not. I think Susan DeSilva and Aki can speak to that more directly than I can, that in fact people were working on this for months and months and probably thinking about it for several years. So it was not an offhand proposal, and it was defeated, quite frankly, because the other side, who was not democratic, kept screaming that they were democratic and that these bylaws would somehow alter democracy in the way that the Pacifica National Board would be composed in the future. When in fact those bylaws amendments would have made direct membership votes of members of the PNB the way that the bylaws should stand. That would be much more democratic than what we have now, which is a form of an electoral college, if you will. So I'm amused and pained.
Okay, and now we have Marilyn Langlois.
Marilyn, you need to unmute.
Star six. Maybe the host.
Okay, so sorry. My keyboard was sticking. Yeah, thanks for all the comments. I just want to talk about the concept of democratic processes and democracy. We have within Pacifica, we have both representative democracy and mechanisms for direct democracy. The representative democracy mechanism allows our elected representatives on the Pacifica National Board to bring forth amendments. That same with other legislative bodies, the state, local level, national level. In terms of direct democracy, that's what we're talking about here, where the members themselves can petition something. When it comes to local ballot measures, in Richmond, I worked on two local ballot measures that were initiated by the people. One was to tax Chevron more highly, and one was to bring rent control. And we had to get 10% of all registered voters, which is a lot of signatures. You know, we found that during the course of getting those signatures, we were actually campaigning for the measure. So we did most of the work for campaigning for the measure during the course of gathering signatures and then, of course, continuing on through the election and demonstrating a real groundswell. So I think the reason why we have these thresholds, both in our local, state, and in Pacifica, is you don't want a small group of people to be bringing proposals all the time that don't really have a large groundswell of support and that could end up taking a lot of time and money from putting in a lot of amendment elections. Whereas if you have that, I do think it strengthens the democracy because you get more participation. And having access to emails and various mechanisms plus, town halls and that sort of thing, I think it's really good for those groups who are bringing amendments to really take the time to get the groundswell and get the 5%. So I don't see it as undemocratic, and I do support this amendment.
Thank you. Tim Lynch?
Hey, I have a question, I guess, and you can answer after, but my understanding, this is the question part, is that only 5 to 10% of our members ever vote. Whether for LSB or for the bylaws change, that we get in many stations, they have a hard time actually reaching 5% to make a vote legit. So if that number is correct, then we're actually 1% of the membership is actually 10 to 20% of the people who ever pay attention to what's going on here at Pacifica. So a 1% membership thing is a very high bar because so few people actually want to be involved in these elections. They do not vote for LSB members, and they do not vote on the bylaws changes. So I think let's keep it in perspective, not 5% as a general, you know, as a, you know, if we're talking about a general thing, 5% doesn't seem that much. But if we're talking about what really happens on the ground with Pacifica members and who votes for even for things like representatives for the LSB, the number is maybe 5%. I think at the highest it ever gets to is 10%. So 1% of the membership equals 10% really of active people. So I'll just leave it at that. Thanks.
Thank you. And Darlene is next.
I agree with Donald on the question of how can those who vote for claim the need for more democracy for the members now come back and say, well, let's inscribe it indelibly in the bylaws that it has to be much harder for the members to do anything. Money has not been mentioned in all of this discussion. How the last campaign about bylaws was done, money was a big, big factor in the running of consistent phone banking on the East Coast with very, very, let's say controversial language about what was going on, and having members, respond there with the phone caller, helping them make that vote. I think that the issue of members being able to bring things up, or propose things is really, really important, and, making it go 5%, five times over, is significant. And I don't know if everybody else takes the responsibility of being an LSB board member to mean that they should also be listening to every national board meeting that is not executive committee. And I do. I've been listening to national board meetings since I went on the LSB, and it's shocking. It is shocking. But I know in my heart that this is not meant to allow control to ever be in the hands of the membership in general with this change in the bylaw. It definitely,
that was time. Sorry, time.
Okay. PNB power.
Thank you. James? James McFadden.
Yeah, sorry, I just take a second to get
okay.
I just want to, let's keep the discussion here. You know, this is about policy. What we want for policy, and we can have disagreements about, what is the best policy or not, and try to avoid personal attacks with words like disingenuous. Let's just keep it to a discussion of the policy. And I think this is a time to mention this. I want to make a suggestion to everybody in the PNB to read a book called Nonviolent Communication, because it really deals with issues about how to talk to each other. We really have a problem, both at the local station board and at the PNB, and how people talk to each other and how people project onto each other. And I think we should try to avoid that at all costs if we want to really save Pacifica and make sure that it grows into a really healthy station that can help the country. That's all.
Thank you. Irina?
Ooh, I feel like there's so much to respond to. Just to reiterate, I came into this, like I said, torn. I had first a very negative reaction to the bylaw amendment, and then I thought, oh, there could be benefits, especially considering how processes have gone. My questions are sincere. They are not disingenuous. I don't know if that was directed at me, but I just
wanted to... Oh, that was not directed at you. Definitely not.
Are sincere. No. My questions about the effect on democracy are sincere. And to Donald's comments, I haven't spoken with you very much. You don't know me very much. A lot of people here don't know me very much. I was very concerned about the bylaws that came forward before, and I was very critical of them. And I do not think these things are not mutually exclusive. A person can spend a lot of time and effort and energy on someone, on something, and still not bring it to enough people to get enough feedback. These things are not incompatible. I don't think it was an offhand effort. I think it just didn't go broadly enough to get buy-in. I think if they had, these flaws that led to a pretty resounding defeat of it could have been fixed. I was up for changing things drastically, but it not in that way. And no one had talked to me about it, and I didn't think the conversation had been broad enough, right? These are not, you know, and someone questioning this bylaw or proposing support for it, you know, this comes back to the tone thing, talking about these people screaming about democracy. I haven't been screaming about anything. You know, I'm here to have a conversation. And I think, you know, we could maybe take those assumptions and accusations, because there is an implicit accusation in all of that, down a notch would be really great. And I loved what Tim was saying about how few people are actually involved. And this is kind of maybe beside the question, but like, what does that say about our democracy? And I think there is, I've had a lot of one-on-one conversations with a lot of people where the word democracy comes up. I think we have very differing views of what that is within this group. I don't think there's a consensus view on what that is. I think there's a lot of vagueness in language and a lot of like good intentions, and happy, warm, fuzzy feelings, but not a really good constant conversation about what it really means to people. And especially when we're actually not quote unquote in a democracy, it's a nonprofit business. This is, you know.
Okay, thank you, Karina. I was on the stack, so I'll start out my comment that I was already going to make, saying that definitely not anybody. I wasn't referring to anybody who's on the board or anybody who is on either board, station board or in management. What I was referring to as disingenuous is what Schwartz said, our counsel. So I was not characterizing anyone here or anyone on the PNB in that way. I have read a lot of what Schwartz has written up, and some of it seems a little bit convoluted. I'll just put it that way. So my main thing here I wanted to comment is like it, at least 12 point parts of our bylaws that we currently have reference California corporate codes and California corporate law as being the guiding entity, legal entity over the bylaws. So I just seems to me like if this is it's a violation of California corporate law to disempower the members without the members having a vote on it, it's a no-brainer for me. It's a killer on it because the membership should have a right to vote. And again, one time in the past since 2004, since I've been involved, only one membership vote. So it's not a frequent flyer thing. And I'll leave it at that. Donald, you were next.
Yes, thank you. Marilyn mentioned that in Richmond, they did initiatives on the ballot and they went door to door to get enough people to sign it. As people now understand, hopefully, it's not that easy to go door to door knocking on the doors of members of Pacifica. It's in fact a very convoluted process to even get access to their email addresses to ask them anything or to have a conversation with them. So I don't think that argument holds for the way Pacifica conducts its business. And as to this, to my comments earlier, they were not directed to anybody on the local station board. They were directed at the national players who form a very small clique across stations and are able to continuously get themselves reelected at a number of stations and ultimately keep controlling what the Pacifica National Board does, or more accurately, what it does not do, which is to act as a normal 501c3 board of directors. And so this proposed amendment, I believe, is a direct result of the unsuccessful bylaws amendment that was presented to the members a number of months ago. And that clearly frightens some people on this national board who don't really want the members controlling this organization. They want their small group continuing to control it. And those of you who are new to the local station board, I would encourage you to do what Darlene does. Listen to the national board meetings every time, and you will listen to chaos. and you will listen to people terribly uninformed about what a governing board of directors of a 501c3 are really supposed to be doing, not what they actually do. And that is really directed to those of you who are new to this local station board. I served on the national board last year, and I found it one of the most painful experiences of my life, having served on other boards of 501c3s.
That was time. Another
public center and public center sector. Okay. And thank you.
Thank you. Janine?
I had a question about numbers in terms of what's the difference in 1% and 5% when it comes to numbers. Has anybody done that math?
Yeah.
Or has that even been mentioned before?
I know, Janine.
Are you responding to it? Have you done that, Andrea?
Well, I couldn't add it all up, but just looking at the double sheet here in regards to the PNB, if somebody can, listeners and what? Let me just see if I could do a tally and come back with
no, Chris on. Just posted it at 50,000 members.
Okay, great. So, thank you.
So 1,000 is 1% or 5%?
No, 50,000 is the total membership, and
okay.
So about 1% would be 500. And
thank you, Chris.
5% would be 2,500.
Thank you, Chris.
2,500, right. Thank you.
2,500. Okay, great. Thank you. Good question. And
Chris?
Yeah, I just wanted to correct something I said earlier. I stated that for this particular motion that I didn't have the votes. Obviously, I'm just one person. There's a kind of a majority minority split on the board right now. For those of you who aren't aware, sometimes it's pretty close to 11-11, but generally it's like 12-10 or 12-8, depending on who shows up on a given evening. So the majority tends to run things, and it's pretty obvious when there's two successive votes how the third one is going to go, because they're voting in lockstep. And so a lot of the times I just step out. But there are a number of other people that are inclined to disagree with the majority, of course. And I believe that in this particular case, I think it was close to 8 of the board members voted against this one.
Thank you. Sharon?
Okay, thanks. I wanted to repeat something that Darlene has said about the leadership of the national level. And I mean, maybe Darlene can say after this, but I know she looked at the leadership and how many years they've been in leadership. A lot of them have, the people that Chris is actually referring to that are in the majority right now have been on the national level for something like 15 or 20 years. I mean, they have to get off because of term limits, but if you look back over time, the same players have been on and off the PNB over that time and have brought the Pacifica Foundation to its current state. So I feel for the new people here that, you know, maybe are walking into something, but I mean, it wasn't that long ago that I walked into it also. I just want to say, I mean, people act like a few years is a big deal, but when you're talking about a leadership that's got 15 or 20 years off and on, you know, but collectively they come back on and they repeat, you know, I am a newcomer to this. And what I did was exactly what was suggested was I started listening to the PNB meetings, and I was shocked at the level of dysfunction at the PNB. That's why people sort of give sympathy to Andrea for stepping up, because it's painful to listen to how people disrupt meetings, how people ensure that nothing happens, how real business isn't taken care of, while, you know, political moves are put to the front and prioritized within the PNB. And yet the finances and the running of the business are always last on the agenda. And that's why it's frustrating to people that really want to save Pacifica. So again, I just really suggest to the new people, listen to the national committee meetings. That's my time.
Thank you, Sharon. Susan DeSilva?
Yes. So first I would ask that we think about what happens if this passes. If this passes, what should happen is that it goes to a membership vote, at which point it won't pass. That, you know, everyone talks about the money spent on elections. Well, you know, there are things that people bring forward where it's important to spend the money because someone has actually thought it through. This is just a vindictive amendment. And sorry to use that word, but that's what I feel it is. And it's going to cost money when they bring it to a membership vote. Or what I think probably will happen is they won't bring it to a membership vote. They will enact it without going to the membership. And eventually, I don't know if it's, you know, next year or 2 years from now, whatever, somebody will sue. And again, Pacifica will be in court. And that always costs a lot of money. And, you know, I think it's also the thing about restricting the membership list, which is clearly illegal. You know, they think they can do that, but they're just doing something that eventually somebody's going to sue. So it just seems wrong. And Karina, I sat next to you in PMB meetings from the beginning. I mentioned in the meetings that there was bylaws stuff. From the time you guys came on, all the people who are new, I think at every meeting it was mentioned that there were, that this was going on. If somebody, I'm sorry that you didn't have time to come out to every single person personally.
Okay. Let me see, who's next? Frank? Franklin?
Yeah, sorry, I had to move around a bit, so I took my camera off. I'm here, though. One thing I just wanted to get in there before it got to, before I lost my idea, I wrote it down, is that maybe we should try a fund vote of the membership for like a logo or changing something simple that could maybe up participation. And then I feel like the reason that we've only had, not the reason, okay, we've only had one vote to change the bylaws in so long, but I feel like it's becoming something that is seeing a lot of action as we are talking about it more. So I think it's coming up to where there'll be, you know, more action in that area. So I think that's another reason to consider it. That's all.
Thank you. Does anybody else want to speak or are we ready to vote on this? We've had quite a bit of discussion. I think people have made their minds up probably. Carol Wolfley, are you there, Carol?
Yes, I am here, and I will take the vote.
Thank you.
Okay. Sharon Adams?
No.
Sharon, no. Ahmad Anderson?
No.
Ahmad, no. Marilyn Langlois.
Yes.
Marilyn, yes. Daniel Bergstrom.
Yes.
Daniel, yes. Christine isn't here. Chris Corey.
No.
Chris Corey, no. Mark Van Land. Mark,
he can't speak. He has a text.
Can you text Jose? And Jose, can you let me know? If Mark votes, how Mark votes. Susan DeSilva?
Yes. Wait. No, I meant no.
Thanks. Shira Dedman? Shira Dedman? We'll come back. Donald Goldmacher?
No.
Donald, no. Christina Huggins?
No.
Christina, no. Karina Stenquist?
I think I abstain. Just
Karina abstain. James McFadden.
Yes.
James, yes. Aki Tanaka.
No.
Aki, no. Andrea Turner.
No.
Andrea, no. Tom Borges.
Yes.
Tom, yes. Carol Wolfley, no. Sabrina Jacobs.
No.
Sabrina, no. Darlene Pagano.
No.
Darlene, no. Tim Lynch. We'll come back. Frank Sterling.
I'm still kind of torn from all the debate, but I'll still vote yes.
Frank Sterling, yes. Janine Utter.
No.
Janine, no. Philip Muldari.
No.
Philip, no. Mantra Planzi.
I vote yes.
Mantra, yes. Okay, I'm going back to, is Mark there? Jose, do you have a vote for Mark?
Mark did vote no.
Okay. Mark voted no. Shira Dedman?
No.
Shira, no. All right. Jose, you want to tally it up for me and we'll see, if we got one.
Ask Tim again.
Oh, sorry, Tim.
Yeah.
Tim, are you there?
I received a text from Tim saying that he wants to vote no on bylaw 3 change.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, hi, I'm here. I vote no.
Okay. Okay, do you have a tally, Jose?
Just 1 second.
Okay.
I have a total of 6 yeses, 16 noes, and 1 abstains.
Okay, that's what I have.
Thank you. The motion fails. We're going to take a break at 1:15. Do we want to,
why don't we go to the general manager evaluation information if you want to announce that, Christina.
Okay, so we are, let me see, I got it.
I move to approve the agenda.
Do I have a second on that?
Second.
All those opposed?
Any opposition? Any opposition?
If anyone opposed, please raise your hand to approving the agenda. I see no hands raised so far, no opposed. Any abstentions? I see no hands raised there. So the agenda is approved. Thank you. So we, I'm going to find out what red.
While you're working on that, Christina, maybe I'll make an announcement while you're getting your general manager thing. So I sent an email to everyone on the local station board, and because we have scheduled a town hall for 1:30, and the public will not have access to this link. They may not have access to this link. So there, I reposted the new link information on KPFTX and KPFA.org, but it's tricky. So what, because nobody's going to necessarily check that because the announcements were on the air. That went out about this meeting. So what I would like to ask people to do is, we're gonna try and go back to the old link, the original link, and I emailed that to everyone. So check your email. Officers will go to that link at 1:15 and we'll check it. And then at 1:25, we will come to the new meeting and, check that. And then we will send a confirmation email about which one. And I'm sorry that this is kind of confusing. We are trying to do the best we can to follow through on our town hall given the bombing problem.
Great. Thank you very much, Carol.
Zoom bombing.
So in the short of it is we'll take a break and we'll come back to the original link at 1:30. Is that right, Carol?
We're going to try it at 20 after, and then we'll try, no, we'll try that one at 1:15, and then we'll try the other one at 25, and we will try both until you find the one that Jose will settle on, and we'll send you an email.
Say, Karina.
Before we leave and try the other meeting, has anyone done anything to change the security settings on that link to prevent what happened before? There are certain things you can do. You can have a waiting room so you can screen the people coming in. I think that's maybe all you can do once you've already set up the meeting publicly. I can send people information. It's pretty easy to figure out what to do to prevent Zoom bombing in certain ways. But I think once that link already exists with the ID and the password that it has, or with no password, which is part of the problem, you can set up a waiting room. I'm not sure you can do it after the meeting's already been set up. Where you can then screen the people coming in and see who they are.
Okay, we'll see if that's
That's a great idea, Karina.
Okay.
Great idea.
But you, if Karina. I could just say, I don't know if Jose is on here right now, but if he could say if he could do that. I'm not sure we can do that.
I can definitely go into the settings and try to see if I can set up a waiting room. I can do that.
That's great. Okay. Thank you, Karina. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The question will be, how will Jose know? Because this is a town hall. How will he know who to admit?
That's also a good question.
Because
Tom was a point of information.
I'm sorry, what?
Say I have a point of information.
What would that be? What would that be, Tom?
I'm aware that several members of the PNB intended to attend this town hall. So could Carol also send the choices for call-in numbers to the PNB? Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, well, we're at 1:15. Do we want a break? At
this point? I just want to have it. Can I just say I don't understand the instructions, so I need to have them said to me again of what exactly we're supposed to do.
It's in an email that it's sent to the whole board. So for board members, for officers, we're going to call in at 1:15, we're gonna shift over to the old link and see how that works and test it. And that at 1:25, we're gonna shift back. And then we will make a decision at that time what we're gonna do if we're gonna go ahead with the town hall. This second link will be a backup if the other meeting is not able to go forward.
And could I ask a question? At 1:30, assuming we get a good connection, will we just start right in with the town hall and
yes.
And will yes. The rest of the agenda for today's meeting carry forward to the next one, or what happens to that? There's several more agenda items for this meeting before the town hall.
Yes, those will carry forward. Those will be
tabled. Thank you.
And I can say a pretty quick thing is that we're going to send an email out to everybody that will have the information regarding the general manager evaluation. We want to get it done. So we'll be sending it information by email before August 14th. It will include an electronic form for you to fill out. It will also have the job description, GM reports, a link to the KPFA website, financial information, the KPFA 2019 survey, and other background information. And it will clarify that during the process of the evaluation, it's important all observations are supported with documented facts and that the language used by LSB members is respectful and sensitive to possibilities of racial and other cultural bias. And it's a confidential evaluation. So that'll be included in the verbiage when you receive the electronic information that we will get out before August 14th. And we want everything returned by August 28th, 2020. Then we will have it wrap it up by then. So we have a firm timeline. So I guess it's 1:17. I guess we should try the other Zoom link now.
Okay, so we should leave this meeting and just go to the other Zoom link. I'm going to follow the instructions in Carol's email. So Okay. Got so it. I guess, okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Our host is on the meeting, and that is Jose Gonzalez. And we ask that the chat be reserved. Christina, do you want to go ahead and read our meeting agreements as we begin to get going?
Sure. Is Sharon back on yet? I don't see her.
I don't see her either. Is Chris Corey on?
I think Chris is on.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. And Chris, you're going to make a report?
I hadn't planned on it. What report were you thinking that I was going to make?
We were thinking that you would do the P&B report, just updating about the finances of the P&B a little bit, and the motion that you made regarding KPFA, what happened with that, and about the accounting.
I'm making notes right now. Yeah, I'm prepared to speak on those subjects. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Hold on just a sec.
Thank you, everyone, for your patience.
Okay.
Christina, I will call Sharon.
Great. Yeah, or just text her and let her. I can text her and let her know that we're back on, because she was having trouble getting in again, as many people were. There you are. I don't have to text you now. Okay, Sharon's here. Okay, so.
Yes, I just wanted to make sure, I just was having issues.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. So Zoom instructions for all who are here. I guess I'll read our, you want me to read our group agreements first?
Sure, go for it.
Okay. Communicate with each other respectfully and speak using comfortable volumes. Focus on facts, issues, and proposals. No name calling or personal insults. Use attribution of sources and documentation when making statements or assumptions about other people or groups. Listen to each other with care. Honor the agenda and timeline, including staying on topic without repetition, following group procedures and respecting the chair, facilitators, timekeepers, and people taking stack. Raise hands to be recognized by the chair, honor individual time allocations per share, and finish up when agreed upon time is over. Each person's time may be used for comments or questions with answers included in the time. Honor board confidentiality. KPFA local station board members are required to keep all job performance information related to KPFA management, paid and unpaid staff, and volunteers confidential to be shared only within closed session LSB meetings. If a situation arises when an LSB member is not willing to honor the above agreements after the agreements are brought to their attention, that person may be asked to leave the meeting. Now I will go into our Zoom instructions. For purposes of sound quality and clear communication, and without interruptions, participants are asked to mute themselves during KPFA LSB online meetings, and the chair or host will recognize one person at a time to unmute themselves and speak. Board members on the phone can unmute and mute themselves by pressing *6 on your phone. Board members wishing to be called on during the meeting are asked to raise hand by clicking on the participant bottom button at the bottom of the screen and then clicking on the raise hand button on the right, or press *9 on a phone. Board members will be called by stack. LSB board members shall use chat to submit written motions to the LSB. It's not really germane to our town hall, though, so I'll leave that out. This is public participation procedures. There will be a designated public comments time when members of the public have an opportunity to speak for an identified amount of time. They will be called on and unmuted by the chair or the meeting host. To speak, participants may click on the participant button at the bottom of the screen, and then when the list of participants appears, click on the raise hand button on the bottom right, or to press *9 on a phone. Participants will be called on by the host and timed. If a situation arises when an LSB member or participant is not willing to honor our agreements and Zoom procedures, they may be removed from the meeting. So that's the procedures, how people speak. I hope that that was clear enough. And we want to start out with a couple of presentations. Chris, our PNB, one of our PNB finance committee people, was going to give us a presentation. So are you prepared to do that now, Chris?
Sure. Yeah, this is all impromptu. However, I just want to precaution. If it seems a little bit rambling, it's because it is. There's just been a couple of things that have materialized over the last month or two that are of material importance to KPFA. This is in terms of stuff that's come out of the National Finance Committee. I think the broader issue of what's come out of the PMB can be discussed by other PMB members, but since I'm the only member of the, other than Sharon, the only other member here of the NFC, I'll just comment on stuff that's gone through there. So first of all, and also stuff that is directly of a financial nature. So Carol Wolfley asked me to comment about the accounting motion, and there was another issue that came up too, which was a financial distress motion, even more recent. So I'll comment on both those. The accounting motion in question was a reallocation motion for purposes of audit, and that motion passed the board, and I objected to it. There was a particular aspect of it that involved the KPFA building that I had a strong objection to, still do. And I just like the opportunity to explain my objection to that motion and to state for the record that I don't consider this a dead issue, because I think there's some serious misunderstanding on the part of the PNB. It was argued that the Pacific National Office was the sole owner of all assets of the organization. I mean, that was the net effect of the argument. But what never got really discussed is that the PNO is actually a division of Pacifica, just like every other division. It doesn't have any special characteristics which entitle it to property any more than any division does. So the basis of my argument was that the assets of Pacifica, of course, belong to Pacifica. That's a trivial way of putting it. It's where they're most appropriately booked that is the fundamental part of the argument. And I may be getting off too far in the weeds in this discussion in terms of just accounting practices. So forgive me if some of this sounds arcane. You're welcome to write me if you have any direct questions about this issue. I'd be happy to answer it. But basically what my argument was is that the assets of the of Pacifica should be placed on the books of Pacifica where they are most appropriate to be put. So KPFT's building, which they own, should be put on KPFT's books. They raised funds for it. They use the building. Presumably they pay the taxes. Likewise, KPFK's building should be on their books. It's basically their asset. Their members procured it. They depreciate it. They pay the expenses of it. And likewise, KPFA's building should be on KPFA's books. It's their asset. Their members procured it. They reside in it. They operate it. They maintain it, etc. So, but that's not how that motion went. And I think it'll take some time for the PMB to understand that there's no uniqueness to the Pacifica National Office. I think the basic underlying problem is that people see the Pacifica National Office as Pacifica, which it is not. Pacifica is all the divisions of Pacifica, including the National Office, the archives, and the five radio stations. And perhaps in the future, not too distant future, the affiliates. So once that understanding has been made, then the argument will boil down to where the assets are most appropriately placed. And I think when that argument is made and understood, that the assets will continue to reside where they're most appropriate, which is with the stations which procured them, which reside in them, where they are domiciled, basically. So anyway, that's how that accounting motion went. That it was regarding the Nakapon property. And that Nakapon building is the one that's adjacent to the KPFA building, for those of you that don't know. And that asset was moved to the National Office Books. There's some weirdness that was associated with that as well. I'm not going to get into that. It's just too arcane for this discussion, but it's presumably a done deal at this point. And if we want to revisit later, we'll have to do that later. But for now, we have audits to complete, and I'm reluctant to interfere with those audits to argue this point that I've already lost at the PMB level. The more recent motion was a financial distress motion that came up regarding KPFK. That station is losing pretty vast amounts of money. They're the biggest bleeder in the organization right now. The loss totals are approaching $500,000 for the year to date, and something had to be done. The PMB stepped up and recommended a 30% budget cut at KPFK. There was also attached to that motion part of that motion was that any station that's showing distress has to submit within a week of showing that distress. And this is for a 6-month review period. So you look back in the book 6 months, and if you're showing a loss, it was originally stated as 10% in the motion, but that part was deleted. And I think it just says loss. We'd have to review the exact wording to get it, but they're required within a week of that being observed, that those losses are observed, that they are to submit a proposal to cut their budgets by, I believe, 10% is what it said. So that also passed. I actually approved that motion. I thought that was a good motion. I think it's high time for Pacifica to start dealing with its losses rather than wishing that we didn't have them or hoping that we grow our way out of this problem, particularly in light of the present situation that we find ourselves in. So those were the two main things that that I wanted to bring up today. And if there's anything else that you'd like to ask, I'd be happy to entertain it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Sharon, did you have a brief report you want to give as our treasurer?
Okay. Yeah, I really appreciate Chris going over that. And he can correct, maybe just step in, because I am on the NFC. As the treasurer, I'm on the NFC. And we were told on the NFC that the fiscal year 2018 audits.
But the NFC is the National Finance Committee, because people don't know what the NFC is.
Thank you, Philip. You're right. I even saw that. I should have said that. The National Finance Committee, yes. As the treasurer of KPFA Local Station Board, I'm on the National Finance Committee. And we were told that the audit for fiscal year 18 was going to be done by the end of June, and it isn't done. And we were also supposed to have fiscal year 19 done by the end of June in order to qualify. The audits have to be up to date to be able to get grants and various foundation monies. So the fact that those are not done is another obstacle to Pacifica being able to qualify for certain funds that it normally should qualify for. And my understanding is that the reason why the fiscal year 18 audit was not completed on time, when the auditors told us that it was just almost done, is because of this actions by the PNB to try to change the accounting, because the people at Netta, which is Pacifica's accounting firm, is called NETA, referred to as Netta, and they specifically said that the action that the PNB was taking, I believe they said it was against the generally accepted accounting principles, which is called GAAP, which is something that accountants abide by. So I think that was part of the problem with the holdup on the fiscal year 18 audit. And until the fiscal year 18 audit is done, the fiscal year 19 audit cannot be started. So that's where that's at. I also wanted to talk about KPFA specifically. KPFA had a successful fund drive. In its last fund drive, we did achieve our goal. That's great. KPFA continues to run in the positive for for fiscal year 20, which is the year that we're in right now. I think Chris mentioned the motion that was asking for reports from the various stations. If they were not, if they were running at a deficit, the various stations were asked to report to the PNB and provide a way to reduce expenses. So I did report to the PNB that KPFA has is not running a deficit, therefore we do not have to reduce our expenses. And to my knowledge, none of the other stations have reported at all. So all of the other stations are running at a deficit, and none of them have complied with this request to, it was stated, since all stations are currently, of course that's not true, KPFA is not true, but since some stations are currently reporting an operating loss, they are required to submit a proposal to the PNB within a week, which brings their budgets into balance. And my understanding is that has not happened. I wanted to, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit disorganized too, because I really just put this together, but to go back to the fund drive, it was a great fund drive, and it was innovative in that KPFA also sort of reached out to the community and provided support to various nonprofits within the community, and maybe that was part of why our fund drive was successful. I really don't know, but it was a great show of community support for KPFA and for the local community in light of COVID-19. That's why that was done. I also want to say that KPFA is completely up to date on its central service payments and its payments to the Pacifica Radio Archives. For people that are listening, these are payments that each station is required to make to support the national office and Pacifica as a whole. So KPFA is completely up to date on those payments, and I don't believe any of the other stations are up to date. All of them are running various levels of deficit and not paying their fair share of central services. Central services are used to do things like pay our accountants and ETA that I was just talking about, paying the auditors. It's very important for these central service payments to be made to fund the operations of the organization as a whole. And as I said, KPFA is the only station that is up to date on those. I guess I'm just going to say that the last thing I want to say is just, this is kind of for our local station board members, but I kind of am doing my treasurer's report now. We will be having a workshop in August to go over the budget for fiscal year 2021, which we have to pass. We, the local station board, have to pass. So just want to let you know that will be happening. It's a workshop. It's not an LSV meeting, so it will just be an informal way to go over the budget, and information will be coming out about that. And the last thing I just want to talk about is the Paycheck Protection Plan, PPP as it's called. And I do believe that Pacifica has qualified for this finally. There was one station that apparently, and it has been said that it was WBAI, inappropriately submitted an application for PPP at the same time that the Pacifica Foundation as a whole submitted the application for the PPP. And this caused a delay in getting the money to Pacifica, but now the money has finally come to Pacifica, and that money, according to federal rules, should be used to cover payroll. And if 60% of it is used to cover payroll within Pacifica as a whole, then Pacifica as a whole will not have to, if I understand this right, it becomes a grant and it's not a loan at all, if I've got that right. I actually can't remember the details. But anyway, point is, it's very, very important to comply with these rules. And that's basically all I have in terms of the treasurer's report.
Thank you very much, Sharon. Chris wanted to make a slight correction from his report. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, actually, I had I can comment on three things that actually one came up on the from a listener on the chat stream. So the PPP is indeed grant funding if 60% or more of it is used for payroll purposes. So that is the objective for sure, is to make sure that that happens. Otherwise, we're going to be saddled with a very large, another very large chunk of debt, which is obviously not what we want to do.
How much money was in the PPP?
It was approximately 1.2 million. I don't have the exact figure in front of me. Let's see. regarding the deficits for individual divisions, actually WPFW has reported gainful operations for the period ending May. So that one is WPFW is also off the list of stations that needs to submit a reduction plan at this juncture. Regarding record keeping for the audits, I believe that for the 2018 audit, all the record keeping is up to date for the station. So it is just last minute adjustments, some of which came through the PNB and some of which have been suggested by the accountants. But we already have a draft version of the audit that's being passed around right now to various committees. And so I think that it's just a matter of days. I actually expected that it would already be done at this juncture for 2018, and then we can move on to 2019. I just want to add one quick thing for those of you who think, oh my God, you know, since we haven't even started 2019, it's going to take months and months and months and months. I'm not sure that's true, actually, because at this juncture, all the books are up to date with NEDA. So it's not a matter of fishing around for information from the individual stations. We should be able to just move straight into the 2019 and start crunching those numbers as soon as 2018 is closed. So it should proceed fairly quickly. And barring any unforeseen adjustments, I will only say that I expect it to be completed in a timely manner. There you go. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Carol Wolfley, did you have a report?
Yes. Thank you, everyone. KPFA was able to mobilize quickly and effectively during the COVID-19 initial period to do training for staff who are, for the most part, broadcasting from home with essential workers at the station who are using safe distancing processes and everything in their work. And there are a number of ongoing training programs at the station to help with not only production, but presentation. And a number of internship programs with Upfront and the news department and the operations department and the apprenticeship program. So KPFA is doing extensive training and strengthening of the skills of staff. Another, there's been intensive coverage of COVID-19, of the recent violence and ongoing violence against people of color, and the new climate emergency program changes for a rude awakening on Friday mornings at 8 a.m. And KPFA has had an increase of membership during this time, and even though KPFA has more members and more revenue coming in, significantly more than a number of the other stations. At the same time, they have the same number of directors on the Pacifica National Board, which leads to some of the policies and the questions that come up that Chris and Sharon have been mentioning with the finances. So KPFA's fund drive will be starting soon, and this fund drive, a lot of us are focusing on increasing membership, and we hope that all of those of you who tune in today can help us to increase our mission, our membership, by letting people know about archives, the shows you like, or your favorite programs, when they are and when to tune in, and also, you can share Facebook and Twitter postings from KPFA into your larger community. So thank you, and that's it for me.
Okay, thank you very much, Carol. I just wanted to say we were very happy that the way that things went pretty smoothly at KPFA when COVID-19 developed, because they had already implemented a way for people to do remote programming. So it was, we were very lucky that that was in place. It made the transition much more smooth than it would have been had they had to scramble to do it at the time. Also, the recent fundraiser they had at KPFA was, which Sharon touched on right before, was incredibly successful in the middle of a distressful period of time. And to have, they not only got the $500,000 goal, but they got more than they over, they went way over, in fact. So we want to say we're really grateful for that. I, at this time, I would, like Karina would like to make a quick question to the group, and then we'll go into public comments. So Karina is our LSB delegate. Go ahead, Karina.
Hi, yeah, I'm doing some info gathering on outreach and communications that we're doing. And so I'm just going to ask listeners, if you're making public comment today, just at the beginning, if you can let us know how you found out about this meeting. I'm just going to try to keep a little tally just so I understand where people are getting info about this meeting from. And maybe if you're not speaking, but you're just listening along, maybe just drop a quick line in the chat saying, this is how I found out about it. But if you're giving a comment, just preface your comment with how you found out about this meeting. And I'm just going to be taking notes.
And, I'd like to jump in on that.
I was going to say, go ahead. Go ahead, Carol.
I want to say that part of the bylaws are that no one needs to identify themselves by name or to give any information about yourself at this meeting. While I appreciate the invitation that Karina is extending, I also want you to know that you have the total right to anonymity. And
you don't have to tell me your name to tell me, if you know what I mean? It doesn't, you don't have to, for sure.
Right. So it's a voluntary thing, but I think it's a great idea. Give us some sense of how the word is getting out. And if you could say where you're calling from as well, or where you're coming in from, that would be great. So we could know where it's coming from and how you knew.
Things are optional.
Right. They're optional. We're just saying it would be nice if you would say that. Obviously, everything Carol just said was holding true to the bylaws and to the fact that you don't have to, but it would be good for us to get a feeling for how things are getting out, the word is getting out there. So with that being said, thank you, Karina. I think that's a great idea.